This morning I would like to preach on, or the title that I have this morning for our message is Walking in Holiness. Walking in Holiness, and that's why that song kind of just stood out to me. I appreciated that word. So what is walking in holiness, and what is holiness? We're called to walk in holiness. We're called to that. Actually, if you would, just turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 12. I'm going to read from verse 12 through 17 there, just to give us a little bit of a context. And this is where my text, or where I'd like to take this message from. And I might not be referring to this passage a whole lot through my message necessarily, but it bears the burden or the vision or the foundation of where my message comes from. one of the passages at least. So in verse 12, if you could follow along, here in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 12, wherefore lift up the hands that hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness. Here we have that word, holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected and found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Seems like holiness is a very important thing. A very important thing. We won't see God. It's that serious. We won't see God unless we follow holiness. It says, follow peace and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. I believe holiness is actually part of God's, part of who God is. God is just simply holy. God is that. And, so what is holiness? The Webster's definition it talks a little bit about the state of being holy. This is the 1828 dictionary. The state of being holy, purity or integrity of moral character, freedom from sin, sanctity applied to the supreme being. Of course, they're referring to God. Holiness denotes perfect purity or integrity of moral character, one of his essential attributes, and is talking about God again. And it quotes Exodus 15, where he says, who is like thee, glorious in holiness, and so forth. But this, the idea of being holy, being holy, pure, you know, completely pure, integrity of moral character, freedom from sin. So we recognize that. It's quite easy, I think, for us to recognize that God is holy. It's fairly easy for us to understand that. And many religions believe that God is holy. But sometimes we struggle with the idea that you and I can be holy and must be holy. We struggle more with that. And I would like to just encourage us this morning to look into that a little bit more. Just to ponder that. You can be, brothers and sisters, that's each one of us that have repented of our sins. You can be and we must be holy. We have to. If we want to see God, it's that simple. If we want to see God, if you and I want to see God, and I believe every one of us want to, and that means sometimes I think we fault in this area, and maybe I'm wrong. I'm open to correction, but I sometimes think we have a little fault with this, that we make the excuse or the whatever. Well, you know, we all fail. You know, we're all sinners. You know, we all, and we kind of shrug our shoulders, and I'm not sure what it does to us sometimes. It maybe gives us the idea excuse for sin. I do think we need to recognize, like John says, the Apostle John says, all have sinned. And he says, you know, if any man says that he has not sinned, he's not true. He's not saying the truth. There is the fact that we do fail easily, and we aren't so much without fault as what we would wish to be sometimes. But we're called to holiness. We're called to holiness, and God also gives us that ability to be that, and hopefully we can look into some of those verses. The Greek definition also gives much of the same idea of purification or purity, and concretely a purifier. Gives the same idea, and it's translated into sanctification and holiness, both of those words. To give you an example, in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3, it says, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification." That's that same holiness. Follow peace and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. That word holiness is translated into sanctification in 1 Thessalonians 4, 3. And also in 4, 4, it says, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. We are to possess our vessel, and this is, I think, if I understand right, this vessel, this body is what he's talking about. You're supposed to possess it. You're supposed to live in it. You're supposed to walk in it. You're supposed to guide it, perhaps, in sanctification and honor. That holiness, that we don't just use our body just any way. One simple way would be, you don't. I believe it would defile that body simply by, for instance, abuse of alcohol, or drugs, smoking. Those things are ways that we could. Defile that, and makes me think. Just talking about that makes me think of in Haiti, we would drive early, especially in the early days. We would drive about an hour to church, and on our way, we would see all these people going to church. You know, and it's something that we just often were amazed at was these little girls, little Haitian girls. Would be on their way to church, and the night before it rained, you know, and they had these little dresses, you know, maybe it varied in their length, but white dresses, completely white dresses, and it rained, and there's puddles and all that stuff, but it was amazing. Now, some of them did get dirty, but it was amazing to see how clean those girls could come to church, you know. Well, you know, we were thinking about our boys and how they love to play in the mud and all that type of stuff when it rained. But they were careful. They learned how to walk carefully, even with the mud that was around there. And so they, in a sense, were possessing their vessel in sanctification and honor. That's maybe stretching a little bit, but they were careful in how they walked in the muddy streets. They were careful with that. Well, I think that these scriptures here also call us to a carefulness how we walk here on this earth. There's a lot of dirt and trash and a lot of things around us that defile us. They defile our conscience. And just to give you some examples of that, going down the billboard, down the road, billboards that we see. It was just, I forget exactly where we were. I believe it was on our way home from Liberty just this past week. There was a very bad billboard. I just saw a glimpse of it. But it's trash. There's trash. There's filth around us. How are we walking to avoid those contaminations in our life? You know, and there are things that we have to do. Of course, for me, when I saw it, the moment I saw it, you don't just keep looking at to observe, you know, maybe the badness of it even. You just immediately turn away and you realize, you know, that's not for me to ponder on. It's not for me. It's not good for me to look on. That's part of that walking carefully, because I know if I ponder that, if I think on those things, it will defile me. It will. I will not be able to stand against that. Isn't that right, sisters? You know, those are things. That's a very practical way how I believe we are called to follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. That's just a personal thing that was that came to my mind as a practical example of walking in holiness. Anyway, I have 3 points I would like to touch on this morning, and in light of that, and so when we look at holiness in this subject of walking in holiness, one thing that stands out to me is God is holy. That's the first point, is God is holy. You know, we want to, in Hebrews there where we were looking at, it says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. None of us will see God if we don't walk in holiness, if we don't have, what I sense in that verse is in that passage there it says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. You might find yourself dirtying your garment, you know, as we pass along the road. Sometimes there's some splashes of mud, there's some things that come along, but we are going to pursue a life of holiness. We're just like that flash of that billboard. You know, if I would let that there, it would contaminate my mind. But we also have scriptures that talk about Him cleansing our conscience, cleansing our mind, and I'm free from that. I don't have to be bound to that this morning. but it's that sense of following. Do you understand that? You're following peace. You're following holiness. That's what you're after. That's what you're pursuing after. And that makes a huge difference. If I go out this morning, I went out with my our dog there. We have him tied up because he was misbehaving a little bit. And so I wanted to run him a little bit, just to exercise him a little bit, just to do something with him. So I released him, but, you know, I had my Sunday clothes on and everything like that. But I was extra careful. I was more careful than it would be yesterday. It would have been yesterday with my everyday clothes. In that way, I was following a carefulness. Okay, spiritually speaking, I also am careful what environment I put myself in. You understand that? That makes sense? We do that. We follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. So God is holy. We want to see God. I want to see God. I trust you want to see God. And we must be holy, and God is holy. And in order for us to understand holiness in a deeper way, we also need to have a deeper understanding of who God is, I believe. In order for us to really grasp what holiness really is, and what we need to attain to, and what the desire of our heart ought to be, we need to get a little bit of a deeper understanding of who God is. I believe that gives us a foundation for us to understand where we ought to be, how we ought to live. So I'd like to just look at a few scriptures in light of that. So God is holy, and I want you to just understand, I want to impress in our minds the holiness of God, the greatness of God. I'm just going to read this verse. You don't need to turn to it. Job 34:10 is Elihu was, I'm not quite sure, I even questioned a little bit, should I even read Elihu's response? Because Elihu, he was not, God reproved him, but I do think he had a valid point that he made there. He said, "Therefore hearken unto me, ye men of understanding. Be it far from God that he should do wickedness, and from the Almighty that he should commit iniquity." In other words, he was saying, there is not even a chance that God would sin. God just doesn't do that. Elihu is saying this in Job 34:10. Be it far from God that he should do wickedness. That's a long ways from God. God isn't even close to falling. For us, it's a lot closer. For us, it's a lot closer. It's not very difficult. If we get our eyes off of the Lord, just like the Apostle Peter, when he got his eyes off the Lord, he started sinking. The same thing is true for you and I. Same thing is true for you and I. just in Joshua, turn to that one. Joshua chapter 5. I think it's good if you can follow along on some of these. Joshua chapter 5. Verse 13 to 15. It says, "And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay. But as the captain of the Lord of hosts am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship him and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's hosts said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so." Joshua recognized that, okay, this was just an angel. This was just an angel, a servant of God, but somebody that was very connected with God. Joshua recognized, and actually the angel requested that he would do this, take off his shoes in reverence to God. God is holy. God is holy. And he demands our respect, and he deserves our respect. He does demand it. In our life, actually, we have a choice whether or not we want to respect him. But sooner or later, we will bow the knee. We will bow our heart or ourselves to the Lord. so here we see Joshua. The angel said, "You know, this place where you're standing, why was it holy?" I believe it was because God's presence was there. God is holy. And when God's presence comes, everything around becomes holy. You know, everything around, the ground even, where he was standing, even the earth where he was standing was, he says, "For the place whereon thou standest is holy." And the reason it was holy is because God was there. Before, it was just land. It was just property. It was just, you know, but when God came, this is holy. This is set apart. It's pure. There's no sin. It's completely pure. God is holy. A few other scriptures that came to my mind this morning. I appreciated the children's lesson on the Ten Commandments. And if you look, I won't go to that passage just for the sake of time, but a beautiful picture of God's holiness. The children of Israel were asked to get ready, like we heard, they were supposed to get ready for this time when God would show up, when God would come and reveal himself to the children of Israel. And he said, I believe it was 3 days, he's going to show up in 3 days. I forget exactly that. But when God came, when the holiness of God and the glory of God came, man trembled. Man fled. That the trumpets were louder and louder, it said. They waxed louder and louder, and the smoke billowed, and the mountain shook, and all that. Similar, wasn't quite the same, but similar in the instance where Solomon, in that first instance was in Exodus 19, if you want to read that. And another situation where God's glory and his holiness was present was in when Solomon was here on this here as a king with the children of Israel there, and he had just made this temple for the Lord. And at the time of dedication, I believe it's in 1 Kings 7, if you want to read that, at the time of his dedication, at the time of him praying, just simply, I mean, Solomon was just a mere human like you and I. But his heart was turned toward the Lord. And I believe he was following peace with all men and holiness. That was where his pursuits were. You know, that's where he was going after. That's what his desire was. That's where his heart was turned toward. And so he was doing this thing. He wanted to make this big house for God, this house of God. And so when he had gotten down to sacrificing all these bullocks and oxen and all these things, and he prayed, it was right around that time, and Solomon prayed again a little bit following that, but we see the glory of God showing up, so much so that the priests could not even enter the temple. The priests couldn't even enter the temple. That's the holiness of God. And I really think even today, if we meet God, we have nothing to say, but just simply are in awe. If we see the holiness of God, the majesty of God, many times I think we don't see God the way we ought to. Many times I think we don't really see the holiness, the righteousness, the purity of God like we ought to. But God is holy. God is holy, and he expects you and I to be holy. Now, when we look at these things, this seems overwhelming, I know, and I hope I don't lose you. I don't want you to get tired and you know, just with this far out thing, and this is way out there, you know, so it's a mystical thing. It's something that's untouchable because it's so holy, so righteous, so pure. Yes, in a sense, God is that. But he calls us to holiness. He calls you and I to holiness. He calls you and I to holiness. God is holy. Let's read Isaiah chapter 6 there, a few verses there. I love these verses. To me, it's a demonstration of our response when we meet God. Again, just the point I'm on is God is holy, and just want to focus on that. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 through 7. Children, I'd encourage you to follow along. It helps you to connect with these things too, as your younger minds are trying to understand some of these things. I know it might be hard for you to comprehend these things maybe, but I just encourage you, turn your eyes toward the Lord. Follow those things and God will give you a greater understanding of those things as your heart is open towards that. Isaiah chapter 6 verse 1 says, In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings, and with twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto the other and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. It says in verse 4, and the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, this is Isaiah, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. We'll stop there. Isaiah saw God, or saw the glory of God, or the holiness of God. Excuse me. He saw the holiness and the glory of God. It says the whole earth is full of his glory. And the house of God, housework that Isaiah saw there was filled with smoke, and the doors of the house they were moved, or in other words, they probably shook at the trembled with the voice that spoke there. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. There in verse 3. The seraphim was simply recognizing the holiness of God, and the house of God shook, and the glory of God came in the form of smoke there. One thing that really, I like this, or really stands out to me is Isaiah's, he's a human. He's a human just like us. He's a human like you, like I. And when we see the glory of God, and we see our undoneness, and I think it's just good for us to see God in his majesty this morning, in his holiness. It's good for us to see that, get a glimpse of that, even in a sense that, God, how in the world can you do something with me? You know, it's good for us to be at that state. That's where Isaiah found himself. But the thing that stands out to me is what God did when he had a heart that was turned towards God. He was like, God, I recognize this. Yeah, you know, but I'm undone, and I dwell with others that are undone too. And then the seraphim came and would you say anointed his lips, anointed his life, anointed his heart. God wants to do that today. God wants to do that in every one of our life. And I believe some of that is demonstrated by the grace of God, the power of God in our lives as he touches us, as we're touched with his holiness in a sense. We're touched with that. And now I believe at that point when that happened, Isaiah probably felt free. His sin was forgiven. It says, your iniquity is gone. What a blessing. What a blessing to hear those words. Your sin is gone. Your sin is taken away in verse 7 there. Okay, the next point that I'd like to focus on is God requires holiness. So first of all, God is holy and he requires holiness. It's something that he expects of us. He asks us to be holy. He wants us to be holy, just like it says there in Hebrews 12. Another scripture is in 1 Peter chapter 1. If you would turn to that one, 1 Peter chapter 1. I don't think I'm going to read everything that I have down to read on that, but I'd like to focus on a few verses there. But God is holy. Number one, God is holy and he requires holiness. God requires holiness. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, passes time of sojourning here in fear, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, even as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God." I think we'll stop with that. In verse 14 it says, "As obedient children, not fashioning ourselves in the former lusts of your ignorances, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." And then also verse 16, "Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." In other words, God, the one that is calling us, who is it anyway that's calling us? It is God. God's calling us to a life that's holy. It's God. It's God that's calling us to that life. And he says, "As obedient children, not fashioning ourselves after the former lusts in your ignorance." In other words, you take a little child, just take that little example of that Haitian girl walking to school, and probably her mommy, if I understand right, her mama taught her, said, and probably with a whip, with a lot of whippings, those children get raised there, and you keep that dress clean, or else, you know. There was a lot of that push for that, probably, in many of those homes. A child, you know, take our Sherilyn, for instance, if it rains outside and without some instruction, we'd put a white dress on her, it would be a disaster by evening, you know? It'd be a disaster. Here he says, "As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance." In other words, there's things that God, don't do the things that you used to do in ignorance. Don't do the things that you used to do that you never thought of. God is now saying, in other words, all the teachings we have heard from our youth, from our childhood, all the teachings that we hear behind the pulpit, all the teachings that our parents have taught us, before we were taught, we were ignorant. Before we were instructed, before we were told that that's not good, we were ignorant. And so, you know, we could easily get ourselves dirty with these worldly things. But as obedient children, I think as adults, as those that have repented and asked the Lord to be Lord of their life, he says, not fashioning yourselves after the former lusts. Don't go after the things that you used to do. Don't go after those things. And some of those passions. What are some of those passions? Could somebody name some of those things? Those things that, those fashioning ourselves according to former lusts in ignorance. What did you do in ignorance? What did you do? And you used to just blunder around in, and it contaminated. It destroyed. He's calling us to a life that's holy now. So what are some of those things that we're contaminating, that we did ignorantly, that we're called away from today? Any anger? Yeah, so you used to get angry when you didn't get your way, or when somebody crossed your path a little bit, confronted you about your opinion about something, yeah.
Pursuit of self,
yeah. Could you give a little bit of a specific, maybe, just in a what area would you have?
Yeah, I guess just the idea of pursuing what I want to do. Mm-hmm. When you're involved, so to speak.
Okay.
Instead of the factor of ownership of Christ.
Yeah, pursuing just your own selfish way and being your own boss. Yeah. Yeah. In formerly, you know, some of those things, they're done in ignorance. You know, early on, they're and maybe we kind of know, but we don't really know how bad it really looks. And for myself, what are some of those things, not fashioning myself after the former lusts, after the former things, I very specifically think of just immoral issues, immoral conduct, immoral lifestyle for myself. I think of those things, former lusts, you know, those, not fashioning ourselves after those former lusts, not walking into those things anymore, not walking after those things. But he says, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. There's, in many of those different things, I think we can relate, you know, like was shared, the thing of just having our own way, being our own boss, wanting the things our way, anger, the thing of getting upset when somebody crosses against my wishes, goes against my way. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. We, that all manner of conversation, like was mentioned earlier this morning, that affects every area of our life. Our responses, every day, every hour. And so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Yesterday at the sale, how was our conversation? You know, how was it this past week? At the store, at the shop, at the grocery store, wherever it was. How was that? You know, was it holy? And this conversation is more than just simply conversation as, you know, me talking to Brother Albert. It's conversation, like was mentioned earlier this morning, the lifestyle. Be holy in all manner of conversation. Brothers and sisters, we need to go after that. Do we find ourselves weak in those things? Do we find ourselves failing? Yes, sometimes we do. I do. I find myself struggling with something. But follow after, like we read in Hebrews 12 there. Let's turn our eyes, our heart, to follow after things that are holy, that are right, that are good, that we no longer do those things which are not good. We no longer follow after those other things, the other fashion of our own heart, the things that we used to, that used to pull us down. We don't do that because we're called to holiness. As he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Everything. God requires that. It's not just a suggestion. Like we read in Hebrews, it says, be holy. The verse slips in my mind. Follow peace and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. You know, and also in Peter there, where it says, be holy, for I am holy. We're called to holiness. God is expecting holiness. He requires holiness. It's not just an option. You know, we have the option. I think, if I understand right, the turkey season is open now, and we have the option to go out turkey hunting if we want to, right? We have that option. We are not required to, thankfully. Thankfully, I don't have to go shoot turkeys because I wouldn't know how, okay? But God requires us to be holy. You understand the difference? You see the difference? You have an option to do some of these other things. This is not an option if we want to make it to heaven. If we want to be in communion with God, it's not an option. It's a requirement. Okay, point number three. God gives us grace and power to walk in holiness. And I'd just like to highlight that a bit. We see that in Isaiah's life. We see that there where Isaiah, he found himself. I don't know what position he was. I didn't look at all the context there. Was he kneeling? Was he prostrate? I'm not quite sure. But when he saw the glory of God, he trembled. And he was like, whoa is me. I'm undone. And I trust we find ourselves a bit that way. I find myself that way. I find myself there. I have nothing. I am not better than any one of you. I am not even good enough to stand before God. And I believe I can, at least in a little way, identify with Isaiah. But let's go for that. Let's go for that experience, that pursue after the presence of God in that way. Not just for an experience, but for a walk and for God to change us and to make us what we ought to be. Like I said, point number three is God gives us the grace and the power to walk in holiness. That means every day of our life, we are called to that. But he also gives us that grace. He also gives us that ability. He gives us that power to be holy. If he asks us to do it, that's the thing that I really appreciate about, that's not even, I don't even like to use that word. What would be a better word? That's what I am blessed by, I guess. When I realize that God asks this of me. He doesn't just leave me there. He gives me what I need. You understand that? He gives me what I need. He gives you what you need. Turn to Romans 13, please. Romans 13. There's many scriptures that point to these things, but I'm just going to share a few here just to stimulate our minds. God gives us the grace and power to walk in holiness. And if we're not finding ourselves there, brothers and sisters, I just want to encourage us, let's follow after that. Let's go after that this morning. Let's pursue after. Let's not be satisfied until it's different, until that fact has changed in my life, in our lives. And if we find ourselves failing, let's do like Isaiah did. Fall before him and ask for help. He will help us, I believe. And we need that help. Romans chapter 13, verse 12 to 14 there. The night is far spent and the day is at hand. I'm sorry, that's the right one. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting nor in drunkenness, not in chambering or in wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. And I believe a very practical thing that we can do, I say very practical. I might need to break it down. It's a little bit more practical than what this verse says. But it says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe as we focus on the Lord, there's another scripture that says, let this mind be in you. The mind of humility, the mind of that Christ had, the mind of not trying to find the best position in life, wherever God has us serve. Those are some ways that we can put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We can think on the Lord. We can pray to him. We can read his word. We can also fellowship with others that encourage us in our walk with the Lord. put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe as we do that, and we don't make provision for the lust of the flesh, we're going to be able to overcome. We're going to be able to walk in this, in the power of God and in His holiness. And putting, it says, let us cast off the works of darkness in verse 12 there, and let us put on the armor of light. And some of that armor of light is Jesus. It's all of who Jesus is, and thinking about what His teachings are, and making Him be our delight. Just thinking about putting on the Lord Jesus, trying to think of some example. This is maybe not a good example. I do think the more you talk about something, the more it becomes dear to you. It's interesting if we're really excited about something. For instance, I know a year ago when we went to see Sean in Turkey, we enjoyed talking about the idea of going to Turkey. We enjoyed, even after we were there, we enjoyed talking about that. We enjoyed that. And it kind of, you kind of wrap yourself around something that you enjoy. And for some of you, maybe it is turkey hunting. Maybe it is some of those things. And I think you can enjoy it. We enjoyed our trip to Turkey, and you enjoyed other things in life. But our ultimate joy ought to be Jesus Christ. And so as we meditate, as we get in love with the Lord, that will become more and more of our conversation. That will become more and more of our action. That will become more and more of our expression. You connect with that it becomes more of us, that, you know what, we're excited about the Lord. Put ye on the Lord Jesus. And I believe as we do that, not just simply to talk about Him, but we're doing what the Bible says, follow peace and holiness. You're pursuing after that, and that will change us. That will change us as we focus on the Lord and as we look after Him. And another scripture that is perhaps a little bit more clear in this is in 2 Peter. And I know I often quote this verse, and it's probably because I have a lot of needs in that. For some reason, it's some of my favorite verses that I really appreciate. 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm not going to read the whole passage there. I'm just going to catch two verses there. Verse 3 and 4. It says, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him. This is the knowledge of Jesus. Now it's talking about putting off the earlier verse that we had talked about, putting on Jesus. Through the knowledge of Him hath called us to glory and virtue. Verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. That is walking in holiness. That is walking in holiness. And He gives us according as His divine power hath given unto us all things. And that's where I take comfort in my weakness, in my inabilities, in my failures. When I find myself failing, is to recognize that God has given us everything. When I say failures, or even situations where you find yourself that you know no way out, how in the world, what is the way forward? How can you walk? How can whatever? I believe, brothers and sisters, every one of those situations, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him, He hath called us to glory and virtue. We are supposed to experience life, holiness. And it doesn't matter what circumstance. It doesn't matter what situation we find ourselves. Brothers and sisters, we have no excuse. God has given us everything that you and I need. And I need these encouragements myself. I'm preaching to myself, so in a sense maybe. But I do want to encourage you as well, as you find, all of us find ourselves in different situations, different circumstances, sometimes very challenging circumstances, sometimes in situations that we don't know how to go forward, how to walk. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And that's where I think if we can just wrap ourselves around, or allow the Lord to wrap himself around us, but just make him be our focal point, make him be our refuge, make him be our delight, make him be our conversation, make him, and that takes some very purposeful and very committed choices in our life to make that happen. You know, there's a lot of distractions in this world. I find it that way. There's a lot of things that pull us away and can draw us into perhaps not bad things, but just things. And then we don't focus on who we should be focusing on, and don't find the help that we should. I have quite a few or a number of verses yet, but I won't belabor that. I just want to lift that up again. Walking in holiness. Let's remember God is holy. God requires us to be holy. We don't have an option. God